Nehemiah chapter 10 this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 10. Before I read the text, I do want to thank God for Brother Steve and Brother Don and Brother Craig and Brother Eddie. Brother Eddie, I know y'all won't tell him, but he's a nut. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I love him. Isn't it wonderful? I only met Brother Chad a few weeks ago, and I told him a while ago, isn't it wonderful you don't have to know somebody for 20 years to know somebody? This book and the precious Spirit of God. Brother Don, we didn't know each other. I knew of you, brother, and I wouldn't take nothing, brother, for our fellowship. Nothing. I know that man of God prays for me. Prays for our church. It's humbling that he calls this his church, his home base to work out of. I appreciate every one of you. Brother Craig, he sent me a text this morning. Said, I'm praying for you, preacher. We're not in this alone. Amen. We're not in it alone. I read one verse of Scripture, verse 39. Let's stand in reverence for the Word of God just a moment. One verse of Scripture. I love the Bible, don't you? I could honestly say, I don't know what's wrong if you haven't sensed the Lord's presence this morning. If you haven't in your innermost being, if you haven't worshipped Him already, then what's wrong? I mean, I don't know, Brother Ralph, I don't know where you'll hear better choir singing. I know where you could hear a better choir director, but I don't know where you could hear. Oh, Brother Ralph, I love you. Brother John, I'll never forget the days when you and I would visit with Brother Fred. And without fail, Brother John would say, Brother Fred, if you don't get back up there, Ralph's going to have that choir so messed up, you never will get it straightened out again. You remember that, Brother John? It's something like that. That's almost word for word. And it's just good to have that kind of friends that we could kid one another and love one another. Man, life's too short not to enjoy it. You can endure the journey if you want to, honey. I'm enjoying it. My grandbabies is coming home next week, and I'm chomping at the bit. Amen. I'm going to waller at Sawyer. I mean, to tell you, they ain't got no teeth. They can't bite me. Amen. All that. All they can do is gum me. Amen. Amen. I wish God laid my heart out on the table and let you see it right now. If I can see this. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers, where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and the singers. Here's my text this morning, and we will not forsake the house of our God. Would you say that line with me? We will not forsake the house of our God. How many can honestly raise your hand to heaven and say, God, I mean that. By the grace of God, I'm not going to forsake the house of our God. Brother Aaron, would you come and pray for me, brother, and pray for this service this morning? Brother Aaron was scheduled to preach the first Wednesday night. He was sick and his family and called Brother Steve, and then Brother Steve graciously got a hold of Brother Don for the next Wednesday night. I appreciate this young man. And I used to hate singing preachers, but these guys are all having to change me up. Amen. And I told him I hated skinny preachers and singing preachers. Amen. And Brother Aaron said one out of two ain't bad. Lead us in prayer, brother.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house. Father, we thank you for our church. Father, we thank you for our pastor. Father, we thank you for the men in our church, Father, that will stand. Lord, will bring the word, Lord, when he's absent. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for bringing him back to us. Father, we ask you this morning, God, that you would just open him up to us. Father, he said that he wished that you would just pour his heart out on the table for us all to see. And Father, I believe we see it this morning. So we ask you, Father, that you would pour our hearts out so he could see ours. How thankful we are for a pastor that loves and that preaches the word. Father, we ask you this morning, God, that you would not only anoint him, but Lord, that you would anoint us to hear your word. Lord, that we would not only be hearers, but doers also.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for all of your love and your mercy. Father, we thank you most of all for salvation. We ask you, God, to help us, help our pastor, and Lord, help us, God, that we would be hearers. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and amen and amen.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. Love you, brother. Amen. All right. You can be seated. Thank you for being here this morning. I praise the Lord for your presence, and I praise the Lord for his presence. They made a statement here in Nehemiah chapter number 10. We will not forsake the house of our God. I've read the statement, no doubt, reading my Bible over and over, but it never really jumped out at me till this week. I told Brother Jim the weather was bad on Thursday morning, and last year I went out there in the middle of the summer and built a condo to hunt out of. It's got Odal Windus in it, amen. Brother Brian gave me years ago. And so they were given real bad rain and wind that morning. I told Brother Jim, I said, there's one thing for sure. I said, I ain't going to kill no big deer laying in here in the bed. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to that stand. And I said, I'm going to bag my Bible up so it can't get wet. And I'm going to take my Bible. And I said, I'm going to see something, whether it's a deer or not, I don't know, but I'll see something. And God let me spend a few hours while it was raining and the wind was blowing, thinking about Sunday, thinking about today. You all think about Sunday before Sunday? You ought to. You ought to pray about Sunday before Sunday. And anyway, the Lord give me that verse of Scripture right there. We will not forsake the house of our God. And I wondered, why did they say that? What is it that brought this about in their hearts and in their lives? There's three things I want to share with you this morning. No, there's three things I want to share with you this afternoon. But anyway, you'll get that after a while. Amen. Amen. There's three things I want to share with you, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. The reason they said we will not forsake the house of our God. I want to just say, number one, the house of God. And he said the house of our God. Aren't you glad he's your God? The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Bible tells us Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. But the psalmist in Psalm 23 said he's my shepherd. I tell you what, all them other shepherds don't matter if you can't say he's your shepherd. Amen. And I tell you, this is not just the house of God. But he said, the house of our God. Amen. It's our God. Amen. In other words, we belong to him, and he's our Father. He's our Lord. He's our Master. And give you three things. I'll give them to you as quickly as I possibly can. Number one, it's a place to meet with the brethren. Look what the Word of God said in chapter 8 and verse number 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake to Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. I don't know about you this morning, but Brother Butch said he got saved in 1979. I was saved in 1987, Brother Butch, February 22nd, 1987. He'd been saved a little bit longer than I have. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I'm not being critical. Not one person had to teach me to love the church. I mean, it happened just like that. I love God's people. Amen. I didn't just love my pastor and Brother Rick. I didn't just love the Sunday school teacher, but I just loved everybody, old people, young people, kids. I had the children's church when I first got saved. Amen. I can remember taking them out on the bank in the parking lot, and they sat in metal chairs, put them in a little half circle, and I made three crosses out of landscaping timbers. I notched them out in the middle, nailed them together, and I preached to them about them crosses, how that one man died in sin, and another man died to sin, and then that one in the middle, he died for sin. He died for us, amen. It's a blessing, amen, just to have something to do for God in the house of God. The Bible said here, as one man, they were gathered together as one man. I want you to see the unity among the brethren. The Bible said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let me give you just a couple of things real quickly that produces this unity. Number one, there's a reverence for the Scripture. The Word of God said in verse number 3, they were very attentive under the book of the law. I'm telling you something. Listen to me right now. God knows your heart and He knows your mind right now. He knows whether your mind's on the Word of God right now or if it's done left the house of God and went out there to some restaurant or went back to the house to something that's going to go on TV or went over here to a ball game. I'm telling you, there'll be unity when God's people are attentive to the Word of God. They want to hear what the Word of God said. Number one, they were attentive. And then the Word of God said in verse number 5, they stood up. When He opened it, they stood up. I'm telling you, there was a reverence for the Word of God. I believe we're living in a generation where there's a lot of disrespect for the Word of God. But that shouldn't go on in the house of our God. Amen. There ought to be a reverence for the Word of God. And the Word of God said in chapter 8 and verse number 7, chapter 9 and verse number 3, not only did they stand up in reverence to the Word of God, but the Word of God said they stood in their place. Brother Don, ever since you've been coming here, I'm not picking on you, brother, but you've been sitting in the same place. You know what I believe, Brother Steve? You've been sitting in the same place. I'm not picking on you, but I believe Brother Steve's got it in his heart and in his mind. This is my place in the house of our God. Brother Don, this is my place in the house of our God. Brother Rick, I don't think dynamite could move you. This is our place in the house of my God. Reminds me of a joke. Brother Fred, last joke I ever heard Brother Fred tell. He's so funny. I loved him to death. He said a guy come in and sat down. He was first time in the church, Brother Chad. And he said, this guy come in, sat down. Said a guy come up and said, you're going to have to move. That's my seat. So he got up and he moved. He said another guy come in, said, you're going to have to move. He said, that's my seat. So that guy got up and moved again. And another guy come in and he said to the fellow sitting there, he said, is that seat saved? He said, that fellow looked up at him and said, as far as I know, it ain't even under conviction. Amen. Brother John, you remember Brother Fred telling that? He'd just laugh. He'd just horse laugh. Amen. I'm just telling you, listen, we ought to be able to scoot over for somebody if it's necessary. But we ought to have a place, Brother Gary. You've been sitting right there. Amen. Now, you ought to have a place. This is my place in the house of God. And we ought to stand in our place. Amen. For the Lord. There was a reverence for the Scripture. And then there was repentance of sin. If you read in chapter number 9 and verse number 1 through verse number 3, beloved, when the Scripture has its rightful place in our life, sin has to go. Amen. There'll be a repentance of sin. Listen, listen, sin will keep you from the Word of God, and the Word of God will keep you from sin. It can't be both ways. Amen. It's got to be one way or the other. If the Bible has preeminence in our life, we'll repent of our sin. And then there was a revival among the saints. Look at chapter 9 and verse number 4. The Word of God said they stood upon the stairs, the Levites, and they cried out with a loud voice unto their God. And the Bible said, stand up in verse number 5 and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be His glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth Thee. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when the Word of God has free course among the children of God, it's going to cause a revival among the saints of God. That's a little bit about what's been going on this morning. People are not just paying attention inside the house of our God. They're paying attention outside the house of our God and carrying it on inside of the house of our God. God's been good to us. Amen. It's a place to meet the brethren. I don't know about you, but I look forward to Sunday. I look forward to Sunday morning. I look forward to Sunday night. I look forward to Wednesday night. Amen. I look forward to meeting with the brethren. You say, Pastor, who else looks forward to it? Let me tell you real quickly. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Jesus. He says, Brother Michael, I see two or three meeting together in my name. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump right in the middle of them. I'm going to be in the midst of them. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. You can say whatever you want to, beloved, but when Jesus shows up in the midst, it changes us. Amen. And that's what we need. We don't need what thus saith Dr. Bottle Stopper, or what thus saith the priest, or what thus saith the pastor. We need what thus saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And there's a reverence for the Word of God. Amen. Watch this now. Not only is it a place to meet the brethren, but it's a place where we find the book. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look in chapter number 8, verse number 1. The Word of God said to Ezra the scribe, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book. Can I tell you something this morning? Y'all may not know this. You don't travel like I traveled for 10 years. But everywhere you go, they don't bring the book. Some places they get out a little pamphlet. Some places they're going to work on you with some psychology. I'm going to tell you what, we don't need that. We need the Word of God. We need somebody to bring the book. If a day ever comes, there's not somebody standing in this pulpit that's opening this book, amen, and preaching this book, then one of two things needs to happen. You either need to change what's standing in the pulpit or change churches. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we need the Word of God. It was a place to meet with the brethren. It was a place where they find the book. The book commands us to meet together. You say, Preacher, what do you mean? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody been encouraged in the service this morning? Exhorted? Has anybody been exhorted in the service this morning? Let me tell you something right now. I'm hearing this over and over. Over and over, people get sick, or Sister Kay, somebody's at home with an injury or surgery, something like that. Here's what they'll say, Brother Steve. I watched it online, but it ain't the same. Somebody be honest with me and help me right there. How many say, I watched it online, but it ain't the same? I listened to that man of God listen and watched it online Wednesday night. And everybody, if you've not seen last Wednesday night, you ought to listen to it and you ought to watch it. But I'll promise you, it wasn't the same, Brother Don, if I was sitting right here on the front pew.
Amen.
At Bible Way Baptist Church. I'm telling you, beloved, God wants His people in the house of God, where they're bringing the book. The Bible talks about us being a separate people. Come out from among the world. Look at chapter 9 and verse number 2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. I'm going to tell you something right now. The old preacher said it like this. He said the church has got so worldly and the world's got so churchy, you can't hardly tell the difference. He said, Pastor, why can't we have them old-time meetings? Why can't we get back that old-time separation? Hey, man, quit watching that garbage. Let me tell you something right now. There's more skin showed in the average underwear commercial today than there used to be in a dirty movie. And I'm telling you what's the truth, beloved. You listen to me and hear me right now. The devil knows what he's doing. He's trying to desensitize God's people to sin.
Amen.
Desensitize them. Calm down a little bit. I'm going to tell you something right now. We need to be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing. God said, I'll receive you. Amen. We see that's a place where we find the book. The book commands us. The book challenges us. Is there anybody here you can say this book challenges you? It challenges me in my faith. It challenges me in my family. It challenges me in my faithfulness. I'm telling you, this book will challenge the hearts of God's people. Amen. It's a place where we find the book. It's a book that convicts us. They read the book of the law 1/4 part of the day and confessed 1/4 part of the day. Pastor will never convict you, but the book will. You know what the Spirit of God uses to convict His people? The book. You know what the Spirit of God uses to convict a sinner? The book. Amen. Listen, I'm glad, thank God, Brother Butch, you was talking about the old man is dead. You were talking about the night in that song. I'm telling you, beloved, my heart and my mind went back to that old-fashioned man of God out of North Carolina, Brother Bud Wishon, that was standing behind a pulpit like that, preaching that same book.
Amen.
And it had an impact in my life. Place where we find the book. It's a place to meet the brethren. It's a book that comforts us. Hebrews 10:25 said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, some manner of some, but exhorting one another. And watch this. Even so much the more. You go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what the Word of God said, the last verse right there? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I tell you, it's something else, beloved. The same book that'll cut you. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll cut you coming and going. When you need it, it'll comfort you. It'll comfort you. It'll comfort me. It'll help us in those valleys of life. Amen. It's a place to meet the brethren. It's a place where we find the book. Let me give you this. Go with me. Let me show you some things real quickly. Chapter 8, verse 1. The Word of God said, bring the book. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. I've noticed something around Bible Way. Everybody don't bring a book. If you've got a Bible, you ought to be carrying it. I said, if you've got a Bible, you ought to be carrying it. You're too lazy to carry a Bible. You're too lazy. Amen. I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you the truth. Bring the book. I'm not going to let Brother Steve get up here and read the book and me not be looking right at it right here. Let me tell you something right here. Looking at it will help you. Reading it will help you. There's a whole lot of them. Listen to me. I'm not fussing tonight. There's a whole lot of them now. You don't have to bring the book because they'll put it on the wall. Let me tell you something right now. I'm not fussing. There ain't nothing like that old black book, back book. That book will help you. Bring the book, he said. Watch this. Secondly, in verse number 5, I want you to look at the progression. I think it's beautiful. Don't just bring it, open it. The Word of God said in verse number 5, and Ezra opened the book. Hey, it ain't going to do us no good if we bring it and we don't open it. But if we'll bring it and we'll open it, it'll help us. Amen. Watch this now. He said, bring the book. He said, open the book. And then the Bible said in verse number 8, they read in the book. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, this is a place, as long as I'm pastor here, always will be, where we're going to bring the book, where we're going to open the book, where we're going to read the book. Watch this now. And the Word of God said, the book of the law, they read in the book of the law distinctly, of God distinctly, and gave the sense. You know what that means, Brother Rick? They taught the book. They didn't just bring it. They didn't just open it. They didn't just read it. They gave the sense of it. They taught the book. You say, Pastor, is that important? You better believe it's important. There's people that are, listen, I think it's a statement made out of ignorance. It has to be. They'll say, doctrine don't matter. You know what? I'm going to take God's word for it. He said, give attendance to doctrine. You know what doctrine is? Listen, there's two kinds of doctrine. There's Bible doctrine, that's the truth. And then there's false doctrine. That's a lie. How in the world are you ever going to know what's the truth and what's a lie if you don't bring the book and open the book and read the book and study the book? They taught the book. Look in verse number 5. Excuse me, look number 5. I want you to see this right here. The Bible said here, in verse number 14, and they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded Moses, the children of Israel, that they should dwell in booths in the feasts of the seventh month, that they should publish and proclaim in their cities and Jerusalem, saying, go forth in the mount. You know what they did? They did what was read in the book of the law. So the fifth thing I want to give you, let me see if I can remember them. We need to bring the book. We need to open the book. We need to read the book. We need to teach the book. But don't miss this. We need to obey the book. There's a whole lot of people get down to right there and they quit. The Bible teaches us, beloved, not to be hearers of the Word only, but to be doers of the Word of God. We need to obey the Word of God. Let me give you this. Turn over the page there just a little bit. The Bible said in verse number 18, also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Let me give you this. This is number 6 in this list. They continued in the book. Glory to God. I like it when you get ahead of me, brother. Amen. They continued in the book. A lot of people start right, and they don't finish right because they didn't continue right. Do you hear that? A lot of people start right, they don't finish right because they didn't continue right. They continued. It wasn't good enough that they just found it and opened it and taught it and read it and obeyed it. They said, you know what? This is so good. Let's just stay with it. How many raise your hand and say, Pastor, by the grace of God, I want to stay with it. I want to stay with the stuff. I want to continue in the book, the Word of God. Let me give you this. The Word of God said in verse number 3 of chapter number 9, I want you to see this. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 part of the day. Here's the last thing I'm going to give you this, then I'm going to the last thing in the message. Don't look at me like I've only been preaching 20 minutes. I used to tell them, Brother David at Liberty Baptist Church, now in closing, I'd stop and say this. If you just got excited, you're a visitor. Let me give you this last thing. They love the book. Brother Steve, ain't nobody going to stay in that book 1/4 part of the day if they don't love that book. There's somebody here this morning. You've not fell out of love with your wife, but you fell out of love with your book. You used to love this book. I asked my teenagers this morning in our class. I said, this is something you. I said, you want to bless pastor? You want to be a blessing to pastor? I said, come running in here one Sunday morning and say, Pastor, look at this verse right here. Look how God spoke to me in this verse and how he helped me in this verse of Scripture right here. Pastor don't want somebody bragging on him. He wants somebody looking to the Lord. Pastor won't always be here, but the Lord will always be here for him. And I want him to know he'll speak to him out of this same book. I want them to learn to love the book. Why did they say, we will not forsake the house of our God? It was a place to meet with the brethren. It was a place where we find the book. And let me give you this and I'm finished. It's a place to enjoy the booth. I want to teach you something here. I'm sure that some of you, if not many of you, already know it. But the Word of God said down there in verse number 14, they found written in the law which the Lord Moses had commanded Moses, children of Israel, that they should dwell in booths in the feast of the 7th month. The word in Hebrew for booth is Sukkot. It's spelled S-U-C-C-O-T. And I actually looked it up online and had them to pronounce it for me. I would have pronounced that Sukkot or something like that, but I was close, but the word is Sukkot. Sukkot. And not that that's real important, but what it's talking about is the tabernacle. In the wilderness, the children of Israel dwelt in tents. And this feast of tabernacles had a place in their life. And I want to show you what it was about, if I could. The Bible said here, they should publish and proclaim in all their cities, verse 15, in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, fetch olive branches, pine branches, myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts. Watch this. This is how it applies in the message. And in the courts of the house of God. They even did it in the house of God. And in the street of the water gate. And in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths. And sat under the booths. What were the booths? What was it about? What did it speak of? First of all, I wanted to give you this. It speaks of rest. Shame on us if we can't find rest in the house of God. A place to get in out of the storm. A place to get in out of a world that's growing darker by the day. The world has put its sanction on sin. The world has accepted it. You and I should never accept it. We shouldn't accept drunkenness. We shouldn't accept lying. We shouldn't accept same-sex marriage. We shouldn't accept abortion. We shouldn't accept a sexual relationship outside of marriage. We shouldn't. Because God said it's wrong. And this is a place where we can come in and rest. The booth speaks of a place of rest. But I believe this is the one that's probably more important than any of the three that God gave me. I did some studying on it. It's a place of remembrance. When they built these booths in the Feast of Tabernacles, it caused them to go back in their mind to their days in the wilderness. It caused them to go back to a... several things went on. Number one, it caused them to go back. When they were dwelling in tents, you see, it was a temporary dwelling place. It would do all of us good to look in the mirror and understand that's a temporary dwelling place. It would do all of us good to pull into our driveway this afternoon and look up there. I don't care if it's made out of brick or rock or whatever it is. It's going to get so hot down here one day. It's going to melt the brick. It's going to melt the rock. It's just a temporary dwelling place. When they dwelt in the booth, it reminded them how temporary. The Bible said it like this: so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Not only did it remind them, beloved, that this world and that this body that I live in is a temporary house, a temporary dwelling place, but it reminded them of the all-sufficiency of an almighty God. It reminded them, I had the privilege not too long ago. My wife has been trying to get me to wear loafers forever. I reckon they make you look smart. I need all the help I can get. Amen. And I was out shopping for shoes. You want to know why? Some of you probably noticed it, but I was wearing some shoes that wore out. Brother Taylor, when they dwelt in those booths, they remembered those days when their shoes didn't wear out, when their clothes didn't wear out. They remembered how God met the needs in their clothing. They remembered, Brother Don, how that there was water come out of that rock when they didn't know how in the world they was going to get a drink. No doubt they remember what it cost their leader when he was told to speak to the rock the second time. And he smote the rock again. He got to look into the promised land and didn't get to go. Listen to me carefully. They got to remember the bread from heaven. They're dwelling in a booth and they're recalling the goodness of an almighty God. How God rained manna down. How God took care of them. How God wouldn't let their clothes wear out. How God fed them. How God watered them. Boy, it's nice to be able to put on a shoe like that. I think what loafers are, I think is made for loafers. People's too lazy to tie their shoes. I'm looking for some. Amen. Let me give you one more thing that they remembered. Brother Don, I believe they remembered that cloud during the day. That lordship is talking about. Hey, boys, wherever that cloud goes, we could go with it. When that cloud stops, boys, don't keep going. Make sure you stop. He said, preacher, how you see a cloud? You don't see it at night. So God said, I'll give you a pillar of fire at night. When that pillar of fire moves, you just move with it. When that pillar of fire stops, you just stop. God led them Is there anybody here you can say God has led you? It's that booth, that place to stop. I'm telling you, beloved, one of the things we're guilty of in our generation is running past the blessing. We're running. Brother Don, I've heard you testify of those early days in school and things, brother, when you had two ends that was this far apart and God had to bring them together. We don't need to forget those days. I mean, we don't. My wife and I never dreamed we would ever own a home. And really, when you look at it just right, it's paid for, but it's still just borrowed for a little while. Somebody else will live in it one day. But right now, we get to call it home. One more thing here. Not only the booth, we need to enjoy the booth. It's a place of rest, a place of remembrance. But it's a place of refreshment. Look at verse number 18 and I'm done. Verse number 18 of chapter number 8. Also day by day and from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the 8th day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. I believe, beloved, listen, Brother Steve was talking about the Christmas dinner. Now, y'all can think whatever you want to. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I'm looking forward to the food. But there's something I'm looking forward to even more than the food. That's the fellowship with God's people. And I believe it was refreshing. Listen to me carefully. God made the earth in 6 days, and on the 7th day he rested. And we know the 7th day is Saturday. We know that. Sunday is the first day of the week. We believe that according to the New Testament, that's when the church met. That's when they took up their offerings in celebration, not of the law, but of the Lord that died and was buried and rose again.
Amen. Amen.
On the first day of the week. And we celebrate that. But there still needs to be a time to rest. Even people that work shift work, Brother Justin, you got to be careful because, I mean, your schedule's turned upside down and inside out. Yours too, Brother Aaron. But you still got to make time to rest. Make time for your family. Make time for the Word of God. Amen. Why did they say, we will not forsake the house of our God? It was a place for the brethren to meet. It was a place where they would bring the book. And it was a place to enjoy the booth, just to rest in the grace of God. Brother Ralph, come on. Sister Becky, I got something on my heart. I didn't mean to do this morning, but the Lord just brought it back to my mind. Let me see if I can find it here. In Ezra, verse number 4, look at it. Verse number 4. Sister Becky, he must be older than you. He's bringing up the rear back there. Amen. Verse number 4. Now I want y'all to pay attention to this now. I want you to pay attention. Brother Butch, you said something a while ago. You said pastor can't do it by himself. He looked at the vans. He looked at a Sunday school teacher. That might have been a children's church worker, by the way. I'm not sure. But when he said over there, God knows. God knows. It's all important. Watch this. Look at verse 4. Are you looking at it with me? And Ezra the scribe, chapter 8, verse 4, stood upon a pulpit of wood. Brother Aaron, I want you to pay real close attention. Brother Steve, I want you to pay real close attention when we read this. Okay, I'm trying to paint a picture here. Which they had made for the purpose. And what's them next two words? Beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah, on his right hand, on his left hand, Padiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. I can't imagine why or how that a pastor could ask two preachers to pay close attention to a verse of Scripture, and they're still sitting there. Stood beside him another blonde. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else?
Brother
Don? It don't have to be preachers. Is there anybody else to stand beside me? Is there anybody else? God's trying to paint us a picture this morning.
Amen.
Brother Grizzle, I believe it was easy for Ezra to stand up, don't you? When he looked on this side, and he looked on that side, boy, it encouraged him, didn't it? Ain't that right? They stood beside him. Now listen to me carefully. There's a group of men here, and there's some of y'all out there that's doing this for illustrative purposes. I don't need y'all out there. And people say, "Preach, I'm behind you." And you look back here, and sometimes they're so far behind you, you can't find them. I don't need y'all out there. I could say this to the whole church. I don't need y'all out there. And I don't need you back there. I need you right here.
Amen.
On my right hand. And on my left. For whatever it's worth, Brother Chad, I know you're praying, but I'm praying God will work it out one day. You know what I mean. Appreciate you. God's good, ain't he? We will not, will you guys say it with me? We will not forsake the house of our God. Let's go again. Help us. We will not forsake the house of our God. God bless you all. You can be seated. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, dear Lord, for your spirit. Thank you for your people. God, many in these days of COVID have a good reason. A good reason, our Father, to be away from the house of our God. Many, Lord, have no reason whatsoever. I pray, God, that you speak to hearts. Maybe someone, Lord, would hear about the message or hear the message. Maybe someone, Lord, that's here this morning that's teetering on the edge would say, "I'm not going away. I'm going to stay by the stuff. I'm not going to forsake the house of our God." Father, this morning, speak to the heart of that one that's unsaved. I would, God, that one day I'll look on my right or look on my left, and they'll be standing there like those men did with Ezra, saying, "Lord, you saved me. Here I am. Use me. Help me." Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.